All right. There's that river of God's anointing. Praise God. Welcome today to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are so glad you've joined us. It's a beautiful day in Florida. Finally. It's been some cold weather.
Yes, it has.
And that's a familiar voice right there, Brother Nathan Burton. You were on the very first radio show and part of the radio team for a long time.
Yes.
And took a little break, and now you're back with us, and
yes,
we welcome you. Bill, look at all the people in the studio. That was a lot of applause.
Yeah, they call that applesauce.
That's applesauce. That's so instead of applause, that's applesauce. All right, okay. Now we know a new term.
They used to say it. It's like a term from TV shows and karaoke.
Really?
I even heard, like, you go to Universal Studios, you know, and they try to get you up there to do things.
Right.
They'll say applesauce, applause, applause.
All right.
For some crazy reason.
Well, we are so glad to have Brother Nathan back with us. And that does need some more applesauce, don't you think? Just a little bit more. There we go. Woo! All right. All right. It's been a long time.
Makes the brother feel good.
Does it make you feel good? All that applesauce coming your way, Brother Nathan. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Beside me is Brother Nathan Burton. And then in a little while, Carol will join us. It's so nice to have you in the studio again. Just seems like old times, brother.
Yes, it does. Yes, it
does. Remember what it feels like to have those headphones on and be in front of that mic? Last week on our anniversary show, I was talking about, this is, by the way, show number 201 now, since last week was the 200. And I was talking about the very first show that we did with you and Connie here, and we recorded it instead of doing it live.
Yes.
And how frustrating that was, because we wanted to go back and correct our mistakes. And we began to realize, that can't be done. We can't correct all those mistakes. And so from then on, it's been live. So listening audience, dear radio land out there, you are listening live to Living the Good Life, brought to you every Sunday at this time from 4 to 6. And we're so glad to be in this ministry that God has given us to do.
Yes, we are.
Wow.
It's a blessing to me.
Isn't it?
And we pray a blessing to all those out there that are listening.
Oh, I know. And I know there's some people, Nathan, that hearing your voice right now going, oh, so good to hear him over the airwaves again. You got that great voice for radio, don't you think, Bill?
I believe so. He sounds most excellent.
That's our wonderful sidekick in there. Yes, he does sound most excellent.
Now
yes.
I got my headphones on. Now I know what you're saying.
All right. Okay. We're just so glad to have Nathan back with us. And we're going to play a couple of the songs that you've recorded on your CD. And people can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Your CD is up there. And they can order that. And so we'll talk more about that as we go on through the show. It's just been a great, great time. Today's the day before Valentine's Day. And a lot of people celebrate that. It's neither here nor there for me anymore. But anyway, no, it's a special holiday. And the season of love. And, you know, we're just all about God's love in our lives.
Yes.
You know, Nathan, and just the way that God works in people's lives to bring them back together, like God has done with you and I, back in ministry together again. And it's just wonderful. It's just such a blessing.
When did you meet Nathan? Did he work with you in Indiana?
Actually, no. Thank you for asking, Bill. I met him in a hospital room, you remember,
right,
in 2002 or 2003, where he was visiting a mutual friend. And he was not playing the piano anyplace, and we were needing keyboard, and he is just an excellent keyboard songwriter and plays all kinds of things and sings. And he said, I said, why don't you come, you know, to Beacon? We need a keyboard player again. And he said, well, might sometime. That Sunday he showed up, and
he's the Herbie Hancock of religion.
Herbie Hancock, oh. Oh, okay. All right. Well, he certainly can play.
You remember that guy, right? From the 80s.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah, from the 80s. I don't know. Yeah, I guess. but anyway, so yes, Brother Nathan and his wonderful partner, Sean, have been a part of the ministry for a long time, then took a little vacation, and here we are back to get together again.
Yes.
And what a joy. What a joy to be able to minister. What did we have fun at church this morning, Brother Nathan?
It was fun and a very deep spiritual blessing as
Wasn't
well.
It? It
was,
yeah.
Yes, it was. It was to be able to minister in that
yes.
way and to see the Lord just take
yes.
people from one level to another level to another mm-hmm. level. And then the teaching.
Yeah.
The teaching was excellent.
Thank you. I thought it was too. I was teaching, so I thought it was really good, Bill. Bill,
excellent.
You missed it. You didn't get there this morning. All right, well, more applesauce. I guess that was for the teaching. I don't know. Anyway, no, we just have a good time at church. We enjoy being in the house of the Lord. That's what it's all about. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so today, as we just began to minister to the Lord in music, and some of those songs just took us into a beautiful, beautiful place.
Yes.
Right?
Just
a place of worship. And
you know, it was hard for me to keep my eyes open.
Oh.
I was just taken.
Yes.
And just taken to the spiritual heavenly places. And just.
It was wonderful.
It was just, yes.
There's nothing like it if you haven't experienced it. And it is just wonderful. Today we are starting a new series. We started it this morning at Beacon of Hope. And we are going to continue on the radio. And it is titled, It's All About You, Jesus.
It's All About You.
And that really came from a song that you wrote many years ago at the piano at Beacon of Hope. And it's a great song. And we're just so glad that God is moving mightily in all of our lives.
Yes.
And we're going to start out right now. And if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and get your Bible and get to the book of Mark. We have a new song Connie put on the show today by Mandisa, Voice of a Savior.
Some people try to listen to the bottom of a bottle. Some people try to listen to a needle in their arm. Some people try to listen to the money in their pocket. Some people try to listen to another. Try to find it in the arms of Jesus. That's where I found
Praise God, the voice of a Savior. Right. That's what it's all about. And his name shall be called Jesus. Wow. That's what it's all about, Brother Nathan, this new series. Join us in the book of Mark, the voice of a Savior. That's a brand new song, and that was really powerful. Mm-hmm. The book of Mark, we see that Mark was one of those who wrote an eyewitness account about Jesus. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We are going to center in on the book of Mark, and we are going to talk about so much concerning Jesus. Oh, Nathan, I know you've written so many songs about Jesus, like the one we mentioned a minute ago. You know, it's all about you, Jesus. And just that name, doesn't that name just go through you?
It just goes through me.
Doesn't it?
It just goes through me, and it just, you know. And when something is prepared and presented,
yes,
this last song, The Voice of the Savior. You know, the ministry that comes forth from just the name.
The name.
Jesus.
Yes.
The voice of a Savior.
Oh.
Oh, man. It was,
yes.
And it just, one thing that it struck me that many people don't realize it. But
right.
What they really are listening for or looking for is the voice of that Savior.
They're looking for
something to complete their lives.
Absolutely.
Something to complete their lives. And then, you know, this Valentine's Day approaches, we think that a partner will complete our lives.
Right.
But if that partner and yourself, if you don't know Jesus, you're still lost.
Right.
You still don't have that completeness.
Because there is that wholeness, because he's Prince of Peace,
Prince
Jesus.
Of peace. Yes.
You know, he said he's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace from Isaiah chapter 9. That was prophesied by Isaiah a long time ago, that's who Jesus would be. And so when you really understand him, and that's what we're going to do in this series, we're going to just get to know him. We're going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Remember that old chorus we used to do? I keep falling in love with him.
Over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
It's true.
Woo!
Isn't it true?
It's true. And he grows sweeter. Remember that line? He grows sweeter and sweeter.
As the days go by.
Yeah.
Oh, what a love between my Lord and I.
Woo.
Just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
Amen. Yes. And that's what it's all about, falling in love with Jesus. Dear listener, we hope you grab that during this series and understand that it is all about Jesus in your life. Mark began to tell the story of Jesus, and in Matthew and in Luke, you see a long genealogy of Jesus. You know, you don't see it in Mark. Mark gets right to the point.
Yes.
You know, he just jumps right in there. And the whole theme of Mark is this: God is here and he's on our side.
That's right.
And I love that. That's the theme behind this whole book. God's here. Hey, he's arrived. He's here. He's doing something new in the land. And what was he doing new? He sent his son Jesus to this earth to show us his nature, show us the Father. I love the verse in Hebrews 1, verse 3, that says that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. That when God the Father said, you know, I'm sending my son so they'll understand me, you know, so they'll get a chance to know me, you know.
For the very nature of God.
Right. You know, and that's what it's all about. And so Mark talks about this and he says it was prophesied. Mark chapter 1 starts out with the prophecy from Isaiah 40, verse 3. And that prophecy is all about that there was coming the messenger who was coming ahead of the Messiah. And that is prophesied in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Now we look at verse 4. And John the Baptizer did appear in the wilderness, preaching a gospel of life-changing that leads to repentance and forgiveness of sins. And people came to him from all over Judea and Jerusalem. They came to John the Baptist, and they began to confess their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River into a changed life. And water baptism is a sign to people around you of the change in your life. We say this a lot at Beacon of Hope, but boy, it's true. People need to understand water baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. And that's what was going on here. John the Baptist was, people were coming to him and they were just saying, hey, I want this. What is this? And John the Baptist said, believe, confess your sins, believe that God loves you, and go down in the waters of baptism and show others that you believe that Jesus is your Savior. And this is what was going on. Then we find verse 7 in Acts, or in Mark chapter 1, that we see that John begins to talk about this baptism, and he decides to share that there's somebody coming after him, after John, that was greater than John the Baptist. You see, people were like shocked by John the Baptist. He was this wild looking guy. He wore, the Bible says he wore a camel's hair covering like a coat. He wore a leather belt. He looked a little strange. He ate strange things like locusts and wild honey. And he didn't pull through the drive-thru at McDonald's at all. He was just out there in the wilderness eating natural things. And here's what John says in Mark 1 about verse 7. He says, I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. Now he says, somebody's coming after me that is greater than me. This was Jesus he was referring to. And he says, his baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out. Here's the difference. The water baptism is a sign to you and to others that you have given your heart to Jesus. When you go down in the waters of baptism, you're saying, okay, I have confessed my sins before God. I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And I want to show everybody that I've made this decision. John the Baptist was baptizing people for the repentance of sin, which is what we're talking about. Then John says, wait a minute, though. There's somebody coming behind me. He's coming and he's greater than me. Yes. And he was referring to Jesus, who is actually his biological cousin.
Yes.
Which is kind of interesting. And he said, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And Brother Nathan, I tell you what, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the event that changed my life so drastically. Oh. Because I grew up like you did in the church, mm-hmm. with our parents being in the ministry, mm-hmm. and all that kind of thing. And so it was like I understood salvation from a very young age, accepted Jesus in my heart as a very young age. Yes. And I went along like that for a real long time, you know, not even knowing anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit till in my late 20s.
Yes.
I mean, it's a long time. And there might be some people out there listening right now that's saying, I don't even know what you're talking about, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't make, you know, it's kind of news to me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when Jesus,
that's right.
fills you. He's the baptizer, and the Holy Spirit fills you to overflowing with himself.
With his love.
Ooh, with his love. Yes.
That's a very interesting. It reminded me of the story when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
How old were you, or when was it?
I was 13.
You were 13. Okay.
And it was something that was not really talked about or anything, right. in my church or anything.
Yeah.
And I got filled with the Holy Spirit, complete with speaking in other tongues. And
yes.
It was boisterous. It
yes.
was just very bold. And,
right.
And it continued until the end of the service.
This was in the service this happened.
This was in the service.
Wow.
During the word.
Wow.
During the word.
God just filled you
God
up
just
right
filled
there.
Me. I was
Woo!
Just full. And it was like,
oh, mighty God.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Wow.
It was.
Did you know what had happened to you? I mean, being 13, that's pretty young.
I knew that it was something that I hungered for.
Okay.
Because I was something I prayed about.
Okay.
At a very young age, I was praying that God would just give me all that he had for me.
That's it. Right there. That's the key. That's
all
it.
All that you have for
Say
me,
that
Lord.
Again, because that is it right there.
Give me all that you have for me.
Exactly.
And I knew that when it hit, mm-hmm. I knew this was an answer to a prayer
Ooh.
That I had prayed. A
yes.
specific, and it was a specific yearning.
Yes.
A yearning in my heart, because I knew there was more
right,
than what I had.
Right.
You know, and I was born again, and there was,
yeah,
I was sure of it. I was right, absolutely sure of my salvation. But there was something more. I knew there was something more.
And there is.
And yeah, from that moment, too.
Yeah.
From that moment, my music took off.
Is that when your music took off?
It took off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, in this whole series that we're going to see happening, Brother Nathan, through Beacon of Hope and through the radio ministry, I'm believing there's going to be, and I'm declaring it right now across the airwaves around the world right now, that there's going to be a lot of people that develop a hunger for God like they have never known.
Yes.
Because Jesus, when we fall in love with Jesus and say, God, Jesus, fill me up with everything you have for me.
Yes.
He does such a work in us. There's no doubt. He begins to work on our temperament. He begins to work on our bad habits. Mm. He begins to just really change us from the inside out. And I love that in the Message Bible here in the end of verse 8, that's how this is translated.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what John says. His baptism, meaning Jesus, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out.
Yes.
And this is what Jesus does. He's the Holy Spirit baptizer.
That's right.
You know, people baptize in water. You know, we're going to have a water baptism at Beacon of Hope here shortly in the next few weeks. Anybody that's needing to be water baptized, maybe it'll be in a pool. I'm not exactly sure after this morning. But we are going to be baptizing in water as an outward sign of the inward change. But when Jesus comes in, that's a next step, and baptizes us in the Holy Ghost. That is the step of changing us from the inside out, you know, where he gets in there and does surgery. You know, I think it's interesting. You see on TV now, there's laser surgery. You can get operated on,
yes,
and then not even cut you.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's bizarre to me, but that's happening. You know, people don't even have to be cut anymore. They can, a laser can go right down in you and fix something and whatever. Well, if we can believe that.
Yes.
And we can't even see.
Yes.
We can see a scalpel cut us open.
Right.
We can see that. But we can't see the work of a laser, you
on
know.
The inside.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's the same type of thing, Brother Nathan. We got to believe that when Jesus said, I can go in there and I can change it from the inside out. That, honey, he can do that very thing.
He can definitely change you.
And some people out there that might be struggling with addictions.
Right.
You know, with all these different things, with gambling addictions or overeating or drugs or alcohol or lust or whatever the case may be.
Anything that's hindering your life. Anything that you find in yourself, that you feel in yourself.
Yes.
It's not right.
This
is something I'm not proud of. This is something I'm ashamed of.
Right.
Anything that you cannot be proud of.
Amen. Good point, brother.
He can take care of.
He can take care of. And he wants to.
And he will.
And he will.
If you let him.
And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit's all about.
Goodness, yes.
Just like what you said happened. And also you said your music began to flow out of you from that point on.
It flowered. It just, my piano playing just, it went from like elementary to, I can't explain.
That's the anointing of God. That's why we still start our radio show with that song about the anointing, because it's all about the river of anointing in our lives. And I can say the same thing, because in late 20s, when I was having a lot of marriage problems and whatever, and I began to really, I was the youth pastor, but I began to really seek the Lord. I knew there was more than just the salvation message. There's more there. You know, what is it? And God began to deal with my heart about spending time in his word more. So I began to really saturate myself in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which, dear listening audience, that is your assignment for the next couple months. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to start with Mark, because you need to see the life of Jesus and what he came to this earth to do. Because when you understand that fully, you want to be a part of it.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
There's no greater joy than to lay hands on somebody who is ill, let's say with cancer, and you lay hands on them and you believe God for the miracle, because Jesus said we have the authority to do that.
Yes.
And when we take that authority seriously, like we were doing this morning at Beacon of Hope, and people were lined up in front of the church, and we were laying hands on them for their various physical problems.
Right.
A couple of them were emotional issues, but we were laying hands on them. We didn't do that just to kill some time, did we?
No. No.
Why did we do that, Nathan?
Because in the name of Jesus, we have been given the authority.
Yes.
I love that word.
Woo, I do too.
We've been given the authority over illness, over
yes.
sickness,
yes.
over depression,
right.
over anything, addictive things.
Absolutely.
We've been given authority over all the power of the enemy.
Amen. So, and nothing shall in any way harm
nothing.
Us. Luke 10:19.
That's right.
Jesus said, I give you.
Yes.
Came from
yes.
Jesus.
Came from Jesus.
So, I give you. Authority and power, I give you that,
yes.
to tread, that was with our feet.
Upon serpents
I never got
scorpions.
To that point this morning. To tread upon serpents and scorpions.
Yes.
And over all the power of the enemy.
All the power of the enemy.
And nothing.
And nothing by any means.
Ooh.
Nothing by any means.
Mm.
Anything you can imagine.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Before we bring Carol in here, I want to go down to... It's still what we're in Mark 1, but I want to go to the place where Peter's mother-in-law has the fever.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? It
yes.
is in verse 29, if you have your Bible, Mark 1:29. Directly on leaving the meeting place, they came to Simon and Andrew's house. They were brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Accompanied by James and John, who were also brothers. These were the first four disciples. Simon, who is also Peter, Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed, burning up with fever. Now, life happens. There are times we get sick.
Yep.
There's times we pick up nasty viruses or
yep.
colds or whatever the case may be. And Peter's mother-in-law was laying in bed burning up with fever.
Mm.
Ever been there?
Mm-hmm.
Had a bad fever?
Yes.
Yeah. You just feel really bad.
Really
right?
nasty.
And they told Jesus. They told him. And by the way, we got to throw this in. Tell Jesus whatever's going on with
tell
you.
Tell Jesus. Just tell him.
Woo, tell Jesus. That'll preach right there. Tell Jesus.
It will.
He went to her and he took her hand. Now, wait a minute. It does not say that Jesus said, well, she shouldn't have gotten down sick. I don't know what's wrong with her.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He doesn't condemn, does he?
Condemn her at all. He doesn't put her down.
Woo. Instead, what does he do?
He takes her by the hand, lifts her up.
Raises her up.
And then she cooks. She goes and cooks for him. It's like, okay.
No sooner had the fever left than she was up fixing dinner for them.
Yes.
Oh, my. So let's go to the very next verse before we get Carolyn here. That evening, after the sun was down, they brought sick and evil afflicted people to him. That's demon-possessed people. The whole city. Now, mm-hmm. I love that. The Message Bible says the whole city.
Yeah.
Lined up at this door.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Oh, can you imagine the whole city of Tampa lined up at Beacon of Hope's door?
Trying to get prayer. Trying to get healed. Why not? Come on. I mean,
come on.
This radio right. show goes around the globe. Come on, people.
That's
line
right.
up and receive the blessings, and we'll pray for you later on
yes,
in the
Jesus.
Show.
Thank
so
you.
If you have a need right now, you can just, you know, hang on to that because we're going to make sure you get rid of it in a little while.
Yeah, that's right.
He cured their sick bodies. That's what it says here, Nathan. And tormented spirits. Because the demons knew his true identity, he didn't let them say a word. So when they would right. start to say, oh, wait a minute, I know you.
We know who you are.
He'd say, no, be quiet.
Be quiet. That's right.
Wow. We're talking about the reality of Jesus in our lives. Carol, yes. my friend, are you on the phone from Georgia?
I'm on the phone from Georgia, and I must say a big hello and a big hug and a kiss from Maxine and I to Sean and Nathan.
They're well, sitting
hello,
right
darling.
Here.
We knew.
I knew it in my spirit in July or August.
Yeah, yeah. You've been telling me God. That, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely have.
Hey, old woman, I guess you hear from God, huh?
Well, you know, every now and then he does just give me a little bit of information that I kind of hold in abeyance to see what he really wants me to do with it.
Yeah. Mm. And you know, Carol, through all this, we're at a place in the ministry where God wants to move mightily in a new way. And I think it is very fitting that the pieces of the ministry leadership are coming together in a mighty way, don't you?
I do feel that way, yes, indeed. And I had a little bird whisper in my ear something you may not know.
I don't know. Well, try me. I'll tell you if I know.
The hour after this show is available.
Yes, I know. I do know that. Or at least it was a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure right now, but
I think from what the bird said.
Oh, the bird just, yeah. Mm-hmm. In the control room, he just raised his hand and said, yeah.
Yep. You know that we've been saying how short 2 hours is.
Yes, we have said that. Yes, we have. But you know, Carol.
You know, we don't need to say things like that if we don't expect a miracle to happen.
Applesauce.
Everywhere.
So much applesauce going on. Somebody that just tuned in and goes, what do you mean applesauce? They're giving them free applesauce at the radio station today?
Yeah, we are. Well, did you come on down to Beacon of Hope? Down to the door and get you a free applesauce.
Free applesauce.
You know, applaud with all the angels in heaven when you decide to come
amen.
To Christ.
Amen. Yes.
And that's what it's all about. Carol, I have such a vision for what God is going to do through this series now. It's all about you, Jesus, which goes back to that song that Nathan wrote at the piano a long time ago at Beacon of Hope. It's all about you, Jesus. And it is. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. And we were just talking. Were you able to listen to the beginning of the show?
Of course. I'm sitting here with my computer on watching you.
All right. Sean, just ask about
that.
Notice
how handsome Nathan is. You can't fool me.
Can you see him? Yeah. Sean's back in the corner. Can you see his hand waving at you? Wait a minute. He's going to get up in front of the camera. All right.
It's almost as white as mine.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. We were getting to be brothers and sisters of the white hair clan.
Oh. Well, it's just good to be able to have Nathan and Sean back with us, as we said earlier. It's just such a blessing. And I think part of that blessing has to do with being of like mind and the same heart. And I want to go back to this whole thing about when God speaks to you, like he did to John the Baptist. And he said to John the Baptist, you know, hey, you got to place a piece here in the puzzle.
Right.
But you're not the entire puzzle.
That's right.
Okay. And none of us are the entire puzzle.
That's right.
No, we're not. In the Message Bible, in Mark, and I don't know exactly, mine isn't numbered like yours, but.
Yeah.
If you'll go down, you'll see it says, but Peter grabbed him in protest and turned and seeing his disciples wavering, wondering what to believe. And Jesus confronted Peter. Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost.
Oh.
They have no idea how God works.
That's right.
I love this next paragraph. Calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. I am. Mm-hmm. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to saving yourself, your true self.
Are you in chapter 10 of Mark?
Chapter 8.
8. Okay.
From 19 to 37. I think it must be about 30. Verse 35, somewhere along in there.
It's a good point.
And what could you ever do to trade your soul for? If any of you are embarrassed over me, I love this, and the way I'm leading you, when you get around your fickle and unfocused friends, know that you will even be a greater embarrassment to the Son of Man when he calls in all his splendor of God.
Whoa. Mm. Boy, that's saying it's time to get serious about our commitment to God.
And, you know, I'm sure that the three of us, along with many other folk, you know, we went from being in the world, whatever that meant to us, into the realm of Christ's glory.
Yes.
And a servitude with him. And I can assure you that we've all had naysayer friends who said, you're different. You're changed.
Right.
What's wrong with you? You're not like us anymore.
Right.
And as y'all were speaking earlier, our hearts become different. We are a work on the inside out.
Yes.
You know? And when our friends and family's very guilty of it because, you know, if you've been the rogue child and all of a sudden you're trying to be compassionate, loving, and understanding and talking to your family about Jesus and how he needs to be in your life in a very personal way, you're going to get a lot of flack.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what's happening in our audience out there today.
Yeah.
They may feel that they've got that little urging. It's the little urge that won't go away.
Mm-hmm.
It starts tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as Nathan was saying, it grows till you're just overwhelmed by it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Become that new person internally.
That's exactly what happens. And it's a process, but so often I think Nathan, I'm going to ask you this, and then Carol, you can respond to this too. In the area of fear, don't you think that the devil works overtime to keep people out of the deeper things of God? Can you relate that to the area of fear? You want to comment on that?
Well, for one thing, I think a lot of times Christians pray for something or pray about something, and they don't receive the answer.
Right.
Because they pray in fear.
Exactly.
They pray and, you know, fearing that, well, are you listening to me, God? Or are you gonna, am I gonna get this? Are you gonna take this off me, God?
Or, right.
And because they have this lack of faith, God doesn't honor anything but faith.
Right. He responds to faith.
He responds to faith.
Exactly.
And so therefore anyone asking in fear, you just don't expect to receive.
Doubt and fear. Well, Simon's mother-in-law, you don't see Simon's mother-in-law sitting here where we were there in Mark 1 as saying, wait a minute, don't pray for me because I'm okay with this fever. I'm fine, you know.
No.
No, she just submitted to it because he raised her up. I mean, he just took her hand and raised her up. She could have said, leave me alone.
Some of the things that I find that are kind of funny to me in this scripture that we've been reading, and it's that Jesus did things different.
Yes, he did.
Than anybody ever did.
Right.
He walked in to Peter's mother, took her by the hand, raised her up.
Right.
And then no sooner had he raised her up, the fever left. Then she was in the kitchen cooking.
Right, exactly.
And Jesus didn't say, fever be gone or nothing. He just touched her. His touch. But when I see the things like this, we are supposed to be imitators of Christ.
Amen.
We are supposed to be imitators of him.
Yes.
And the things that he did, anything that Jesus did on this earth, he did nothing in fear.
Right.
It was all in the boldness of God.
Boldness and confidence.
And confidence.
Oh, that is huge. Carol, you want to comment on that?
I think very often, in following what Nathan has said, fear also translates to people as, I'm not worthy.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
God, do something for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who is he that he thinks he can do something for me?
Uh-huh.
I don't know who he is, and I'm not sure I believe all this. People talk about the Bible and this Jesus that works through his Father to take care of people and leads and guides. So we right there put that tag on us.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not into the realm of knowing personally and heartfelt and soul felt about Jesus and God, we begin to think we're not worthy because people tell you that all the time. You're not worth that.
Right.
That God doesn't love you.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you hear that in the secular world?
Exactly.
Almost every place you go and everything you do. And the world tells us that we're not worthy, while we know that Scripture tells us that we are, that Jesus is compassion. He's love. He's understanding.
Ooh, amen.
Everything we need to do and grow in our life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's divine. He can't do anything wrong. You know, he squelches evil at its very existence.
Yes,
right. Well, look at the demon that reacted here. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, I think that this point right here is huge that we're making, that it takes putting our trust in Jesus, putting our trust in his word, what he said, and then when we really have that, settled within us, then we just go forward with the opportunities that come our way. I mean, Jesus didn't go looking for Simon's mother-in-law. There she was.
There she was.
You know what I mean?
The opportunity presented itself.
Yeah, there wasn't a Craigslist ad or anything. Anybody sick with a fever, come stand all right over here.
Yeah, come over here.
You know,
and how many times
life happens. Yeah.
Either of you gotten a feeling, an urging, a message from Christ deep in your soul to get in the car and go to Pollyanna Pigtails or Joseph Duguid's house. And
Joseph Duguid.
And you're going, Lord, where am I going over
yeah,
there?
Right.
Or sometimes you don't know where you're going. You get
feel this compulsion
to get in your car because you're being led.
Yes.
As a servant, you're being led to take the word, the compassion, the healing hands to somebody that you might not even know. How many, and I can answer my own question, how many times have the both of you been stopped in different places and said, I don't know why I'm asking you this, but would you pray for me?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I've had that happen so many times. Mm-hmm. I'm in a grocery store picking up my little canned goods, walking down the aisle, and somebody will come up to me or tap me on the shoulder, and they will say, would you pray for me? And I'm looking, do I have a sign up there?
She said, yes, she's had this happen, yes.
Yeah. This happens so often to me.
Yes.
And, you know, the best place to find it is like where you and Nathan met.
Right.
In a hospital room.
Yeah, that's true.
Visiting a common friend.
Not feeling worthy and not having the trust and the faith in the precious name of Jesus.
Right. They don't know.
Someone is ill or a catastrophe has happened or a disaster of some type. When all hope is gone, in walks hope. And it comes in the form of the Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's good stuff. And that's what we're going to teach this whole section here on this series. It's all about you, Jesus. Just that fact that Jesus brings life-changing events into our lives if we allow him. If we open ourselves to his...
Open ourselves to...
Yeah.
If we believe it first.
Right.
And then
the sheer humanity of Jesus in Mark's picture brings him very close to us.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
We realize that he is, at that point, he is human. He's feeling the emotions we feel.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's feeling our emotions. Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, he carries our burdens on his shoulder.
Yes.
He went to the cross carrying our burdens and our sins on his shoulder.
Exactly. Yes.
Now, how many of us do that for anybody?
And, you know, I think that a lot of times people are not familiar with what Jesus is all about.
That's true.
I mean, I really don't think. I mean, they use his name and cuss words, you know, or whatever.
Yep. Yep.
But, I mean, to really, if you pinned a lot of people down and set them down and said, okay, you got to answer this questionnaire all about Jesus, I think most people, the average person out there, really doesn't have much of a clue about what he really did when he was here on this earth. And that's what we want to come alive to each of our listeners, you know? What was Jesus doing? I want to take us back up here to verse 23 a moment. We're not doing this in any particular order, it appears. No, it's the Holy Spirit's order, I guess we are. So let's start with verse 21. They entered Capernaum, and when the Sabbath arrived, Jesus lost no time getting to the meeting place. Praise God. Really? He understood he wanted to be in the house of the Lord.
And on time.
And on time. Woo! Amen. He lost no time. So, he had to be on time.
He's on time.
He spent the day there teaching, you know, and I mentioned this morning at Beacon of Hope, I'd love to be able just to have a marathon, just teach all day long, y'all just come and go as you felt led, and I'm just still standing there teaching.
Oh, there's that other hour hanging over there.
Oh, Carol. Anyway,
yes.
she's bad. Oh. They were surprised at his teaching. So, I love this. This is verse 22 of Mark 1. They were surprised at his teaching because his teaching was so forthright. And so confident.
Yes.
That's that word you said a minute ago.
Yes.
Forthright means, you know, just come right out with it.
Right out there, yeah.
Just come right out there with it. In fact, you said that to Connie. Was it you or Sean that said that to Connie at lunch today about how she just, there's a new boldness in her. Oh, she just kind of comes right out with it, you know. So forthright. Yeah, so forthright. So confident. Not quibbling and quoting like the religion scholars. Now, I love this because Jesus is teaching the word. Okay.
Yes.
Now, the devil does not like the word taught. Can anybody agree to that? We know that, right?
We know that.
Devil hates it.
Yes,
so what does he do? Look at verse 23. Suddenly, there's that word again.
Yeah.
Suddenly, the devil goes, oh, I got to do something to break up the word. Okay, I got to do something here. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Well, we've seen him do all kinds of things. You know, sometimes, you know, there's distractions that happen in a service. Somebody's cell phone goes off. They forget to turn it off. You know, there's all kinds of things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what this distraction was. Suddenly, while still in the meeting place, he was interrupted, Jesus, by a man who was deeply disturbed and yelling out, what business do you have here with us, Jesus? Nazarene. I know what you're up to. Evidently not. I know what you're up to. You're the Holy One of God, and you've come to destroy us. Now, this was a demon speaking through this man.
That's right.
Causing, trying to disrupt the service.
That's right.
Okay? And in verse 25, Jesus shut him up.
Yes.
Jesus shut him up.
Shut him up.
I have a story about that, and I'll make it as brief as I possibly
all
can.
All right, go ahead.
Maxine and I were attending a church in St. Petersburg one evening, and there was a healing service.
Okay.
And a friend of ours was the pastor at that moment doing that, had come from Oklahoma to do this. And we were all sitting there and enjoying the sermon as it was being given. The healing started, and this man came up for healing, for prayer, personal prayer, and anointing with oil.
Right.
So our friend anointed him, this pastor, anointed him with oil, and he fell in the spirit. And so she just sidestepped and kept going to other people as they were coming to her.
Right.
The man lay there for at least 35 minutes, never moved. Hmm. And he was covered with a sheet so he would be comfortable. And as the whole line continued through, occasionally she would look over at him. People would try to rouse him, and she would say, please leave him, leave him. Mm-hmm. And they didn't touch him at that point. All of a sudden, about 45 minutes into this program, all of a sudden, there was a side door open on the church because it was brand new and the carpet smells were kind of getting to people. So they had opened the side door to kind of get some of the odor of the new carpets out. And all of a sudden, there was the most blood-curdling scream you could have ever heard in your entire life. That man was on the floor. This dark creature, cloud-like form, came out of that man's body and literally flew in air to the door, the door.
Wow. Praise God.
Then that man was able to stand up. He was shaking uncontrollably when that
happened. That's deliverance. Praise God.
Told, you know, shaking uncontrollably. Woo! Because that evil spirit was coming out of that
man. And it left. Mm-hmm. Well, that is a great, great segue, Carol. And you all know out there that we don't plan this, so we didn't know Carol was going to tell that story. We had no idea. Nathan, you wrote this song at Beacon. I remember when we were at the Waters location.
Yes.
And this song came out of your heart as we were just worshiping and praising God. Darkness has no power over me. I'm going to ask you to comment on this song after we play it.
I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and praise the Lord. I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and praise the Lord. Even in my trials, I can rejoice. With praises to my King, I lift my voice. For the Son of God has come and set me free. Darkness has no power over me. I've been set free. I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've been set free.
I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
You can know the joy of victory. By our faith, our vision we can see.
To lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've been set free.
I've been set free. Darkness has no power over me. I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
I've made my choice.
I've made my choice to lift my voice and to praise the Lord.
Praise God.
I've made my choice.
I've made my choice to lift my voice. Brother Nathan, what do you have to say about that wonderful song? I praise the Lord. Woo.
You know, often songs are born out of frustration or out of out of a crisis.
Okay. All right.
And I don't know what particular crisis we were going through at that time. I know that the teaching that we were receiving was about speaking, about knowing and speaking and standing on the Word of God and confessing the Word of God.
That's what we were teaching, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have a choice.
Right.
We have a choice that we can always make in any situation we find ourselves in. If we find ourselves in a crisis situation, we have a choice. We could choose to wallow in it.
Right.
Or we can choose to pray, to turn our eyes upon Jesus.
Amen.
And look full on his wonderful face.
Amen.
And praise him and thank him. Thank him for the victory, even though we don't see it yet. Even
exactly.
Though we don't have, but we can praise him because his word tells us we've got the victory.
Amen.
The victory, it's ours. We
Absolutely.
Have the victory. In Christ, we have the victory. And so that's where this song was born from. The fact that, you know, I've made my choice. I'm going to praise the Lord.
Right.
I'm going to lift my voice and praise God because of his word.
Amen.
And the power of his word in my life.
Yes.
The power of his word over this crisis in my life.
Yes.
That this crisis is not the end.
Amen.
It's not
the last word.
No, it's not.
Woo, Carol, what do you think on that?
That song is saying, evil, you're not going to win out.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
You know, I know who my Redeemer is.
Yes.
And I'm redeemed in the spirit of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
And you cannot have any power over me.
No.
Yes, exactly.
And once again, it goes back to fear. That's a statement, that song, Nathan, is a statement that fear causes people to shake and tremble and be unfaithful.
Mm. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
That song says, you're not getting anything over me.
No.
You have no power over me.
Right.
You cannot control me.
Right.
I am running to the shepherd of my soul.
That's right.
Amen.
Exactly.
God. Darkness has no power over me. Praise God.
It does not. And we proclaim that very boldly.
Yes. Amen. Yes,
and we do that.
Proclaimed every time the doors of Beacon of Hope open. There is nothing to fear but fear itself,
right.
As Roosevelt said. And we're not going to be held and bound down by it. It's an act of the devil.
I mean, do you notice right here in this example in Mark 1? I mean, Mark gets right to it. And one of the first things he tells us is that a demon tried to interrupt the service. You know, and Jesus was teaching, and Jesus didn't say, oh, no, and run away in fear.
No.
You know, Jesus simply took authority.
Yes.
1 John 3:8 says, Jesus came to undo the works of the devil.
Mm.
I love that verse. 1 John 3:8, Jesus came to undo the works of the devil. And in the original Greek right there, that word is luo, which means to actually untie.
Yes.
Okay, loosen. Yes, let you know, just break it all apart. So what the devil plans in our lives, and he does, he gets real busy trying to see how he can break up ministries, how he can break up friendships, how he can, you know, destroy one's
family.
Break up families. Yes, all of that. But Jesus came to undo the works of the devil,
and
that's why he's here. And that whole concept is huge in the book of Mark, that Jesus knew he had the authority, and he used it.
And he used it.
Woo!
Yes, he did.
Look at the number of times we've been in church, and we're having a prayer time when you come up and you receive personal prayer and healing and all that, and people come up. We'll begin to see it as soon as they walk in the door. They begin to humble themselves. They're falling apart, One thing about Beacon is, if somebody starts falling apart, there's somebody right there beside them.
Right.
That's right.
It's going to help them through.
Give them comfort, physical comfort.
That's
it's
right.
Okay. You're in the house of the Lord. Everything will be fine.
And then
when they go up to, if they choose to receive personal prayer, they go up, and sometimes they have to be assisted. They are so weak from just the emotion of giving up, allowing that spirit of the devil to crawl out of them and touch. And when they are touched in the name of the Spirit of Jesus Christ and hands go on them, how many times have we seen them go to the ground and lie there sobbing? And when
they
finally can bring this composure, then they stand up, and they're a new person at that moment.
Yes, they are.
Amen. That's that Holy Spirit changing them from the inside
really
out.
You know,
the darkness is gone.
We don't know what their plight is when they come.
No.
We don't know if they've been praying for days, weeks, months, years to be healed of whatever has burdened them, the evil of whatever their addiction or their situation is. But when they come there and they realize that they are standing in a house where God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are very prevalent.
Amen.
And they began to feel something in their own soul and a stirring and a peace about it. They're not fearful anymore about it.
No.
And, you know, you're so right about that, Carol, because when people first come to Beacon of Hope, it's an interesting experience. And I jokingly say, and I do this a lot, say, you know, all these people here at church, they're a little strange, but I'm not, you know,
yeah.
Which is just really just the opposite. So, Bill, you will get your courage up and you will come to Beacon and you will experience
it.
He's speechless. You're speechless. You will. You are going to experience a powerful move of God.
Yes.
Because these are those last days that have been prophesied.
Yes.
And
that's
people
true.
Need God. People need the
people
Lord.
Need the Lord.
We played that recently, and oh, I want to do that again sometime soon. People need the Lord so bad.
Mm.
Oh, did you have a comment to that, Bill? You've got your headphones on.
I was just, you know, but we don't know the exact day when Jesus is coming.
No, we don't.
But it's soon.
It's a big secret.
It's soon.
Yeah.
It's very soon.
Soon and very soon.
I mean, I sit here and I dream, back in the day, old days when he came to town, whatever. He did whatever he needed to do.
We're talking about now.
And now I think when he comes, what is he going to, is he going to be going to a ball game? Is he going to be in the park?
No, it's not. It talks about that in the Word. He comes through the skies,
yes.
You know, as a triumphant Lord. And the dead in Christ are raised up, and those that are still alive on this earth are raised up to meet him. We'll teach on that someday, and then we'll tell you more about that.
All right.
And with him immediately.
Yes, we go with him for all eternity, and that's where we're headed, for all eternity.
And those that don't know him won't make the journey.
What a day that will be.
What a day. What a day.
With my Jesus, I shall see.
Man, it's going to be an exciting time. It'll be a very scary time for some folk.
Yes.
Because they have put it off. I'll go to church whenever, or don't force me to go to church, or get a divorce. I don't care. I'm not going to church with you. I don't believe in all that stuff. Well, the day will come when his people are called home.
Amen.
We will live forever with him
in eternity.
And,
thank you, Jesus.
And all of the good things and the good attributes that we read about and teach about and preach about, we will see come to fore.
And I think about, I often think about those who have been given the knowledge.
Yeah.
Yes.
They have been given the knowledge and they've refused it.
Mm-hmm.
They refused it.
Yes.
When that day comes.
We just can't continue to do that. And that's why there's such a burden
a
on your heart, Nathan, and on your heart, Pastor Marsha, on mine, on Maxine's, on our partners' hearts, to make sure that we leave no person untaught.
Amen.
Amen.
And we try so hard through word, music, programs, visitation, prayers. We try so hard to get the word out there that you are worthy.
Amen.
You're worthy.
That God loves you.
Worthy.
And God even loves our engineer, Bill.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
In fact, he probably loves engineer Bill right now more than he does the rest of us.
Apple's
because
awesome.
Engineer Bill is still trying to find himself.
Yes. Okay. But you know what? God loves him so much. And Bill, you can just be an example to some of those listeners out there today who really do have a whole lot of questions, and there's nothing wrong with a lot of questions. In fact, we invite our listening audience to write us. Personally, comes directly to my email, which I think is pretty cool. That doesn't happen in a lot of ministries.
That's true.
But it comes directly to my email, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and ask your questions, you know, or, you know, express yourself. We want to hear from you, you know? We want to know what you're thinking or if you have concerns.
My question is after the idea. I always ask my favorite question.
Which is?
Well, you want me to play the ID first, and then I'll ask my question?
Oh, the ID. Oh, yeah. Station identification. You're right. It's 5 o'clock. Wow.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
My question is about your book.
Ah, yes, that's a good question. You know,
that is a good question. One walked out of my house about an hour ago.
One of the books walked out of your house? Praise God.
Placed in a doctor's office that deals with that has, you know, part of the recovery program.
Praise God.
Yes.
Well, do you know,
she deals with the people who were addicted and that are now trying to come out of it and
wow.
all that good stuff. So one of them walked out the door.
Mm. Well, somebody walked into church today and said, I got some birthday money and I want to plant $30 to go to the prison for books.
That's right.
Because we can send a book for $5. That includes our printing cost. We don't make money on this at all,
right.
but it includes our printing cost and the postage. So each book to the prison costs right about just shy of $5. And so this lady planted 6 books today, and she was really happy. And my daughter is, by the way, doing great, my daughter Lori. The book is Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. Thank you, Bill, for the reminder. It's on our website. It's also on my website, MarciaMcAllister.com. You can find it. You can get it from us for $10. We will do that.
How about it becoming a New York Times bestseller?
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great?
That would happen.
But you know what? We just want to see God change lives. We have planted now well over 100 books into the prison where my daughter is, Nathan. And you know Lori.
Yes.
You love Lori.
Yes,
and you were surprised when I told you last week that she was in prison, but yet maybe not a little surprised. I don't know.
Well, I knew that. Watching her bounce back and forth, that...
The drug addiction.
Yes, yeah. That prison would be a good place for her.
Exactly.
Nathan, I've been
survive.
Saying that since day one.
To survive.
Right.
You know, because...
And then we know that she has God's heart.
Yes.
And we know that she can... And Marcia and I have talked about this so many times. By her being there, Nathan, she is able to minister to those women in that facility in a way that none of us could do.
That we can do. Because we have no idea.
We have no idea.
She
Correct.
Knows what they were going through.
That's right.
She's
and the
been
emotions
there.
That they go through, not only hourly or you know, but minute by minute,
minute
the emotions.
Minute.
She's
right.
there. She can
That's
see
right.
it. She can minister.
That's right.
And as I understand now, she's getting quite a prayer team going.
Yes.
She's starting to really pray with the women that come to her. And she told me, she called me last evening and she said, Mom, I got the new shipment of books. That was 25 books that went this week. And she said, I came down from this area. There, she's in a minimum security prison, but it's really a drug rehab unit, lockdown drug rehab unit. So just people that have been accepted into the drug rehab program are in that one area. But the prison now has allowed the books to go into the open population too,
oh,
which
wow.
is really cool. So anyway, she said she came down from this group meeting and she walked down into the area where a lot of them hang out. And she said she counted like 10 people sitting there reading her book. And now they're coming to her and wanting her to pray with them. And, you know, from where she has been
yes.
to where she is now is huge. You can get a copy for $10. We'll pay the postage. And actually, on Amazon.com, they're $13.50, so that's a savings. And if you want to plant any of those books into prisons, you just send a donation, $5 a book, and we will get those planted in that prison. And then we've also this week found out about last week a couple other places that are going to let us plant. I just haven't gotten it
Praise
done yet. just haven't
that
gotten it done
it
yet.
It has to come when it goes into those lockdown facilities.
Yes.
It has to come through the publisher.
Yes, it does.
Otherwise, I guess they feel contraband could come in.
Yeah, we can't send them from here.
Directly.
They,
not personally,
in fact,
no.
Maxine orders them directly from our publisher. So, Bill, did you have a question there or?
I said $5. That's a Whopper meal.
Yeah.
That's, right.
That's a good
that's
point.
Right.
Instead of,
you know
instead of a Whopper meal.
Acronym, you know, it's a Whopper meal because if we went out and spent $5, we'd buy a Whopper. But if we take that same $5 and invest it in a book to put into a lockdown facility or any other place, it becomes a Whopper of a life changing.
Yes.
You knew she was going there, didn't
yes.
you, Bill? You
yes.
knew
yes.
she was
She's
going.
A great writer or whatever.
She
can call these great words. I like her.
I know it. She is. She's fantastic.
She
well,
is.
Beacon of Hope Ministries is in our 10th year. Cannot hardly believe that. It seems amazing to me that we've been having this much fun for 10 years. And it is fun. Yeah, Carol.
When you go into a restaurant, you know, when we all go someplace and eat.
Right.
And we're in there and we're having a good time. You know, people see a crowd of folks come in there, they're like climb the wall like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We would all go in and we would have such a joyous, joyful
yes.
time.
Yes.
Invariably, somebody would say, what? where are y'all from?
Yeah,
we're, right.
Yes.
You know, and we're like, oh, Beacon of Hope Church. And they're going, but y'all are laughing and having a good time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We can because we know we are redeemed.
Amen. Amen. And we just love to be in the presence of the Lord and each
and
other.
We love the fellowship.
Right.
Yeah. Did we have fun today?
Yes.
And at that very restaurant where we were today, it'll remain nameless, a waitress came up to wait on us a few weeks back. And so we were talking about the book. It was just out. And she said, tell me about that. She said, I've been in prison for 6 years for drug addiction. As it turned out, I ran out to the car, of course, and just happened to have a copy and brought it in, signed it, and gave it to her. And she told me the last time I saw her of another place that wants those books put in. So she's one of our sources now, and she's read it, and it's really helped her. So, you know, God is doing things in unusual. That was a waitress at a restaurant, you know? How weird is that? So God's doing so many things.
Well, look at the occupation of the men that Jesus called into ministry.
Yes, we're going to talk about that.
Look at the fishermen.
Exactly. Amen. Hold that thought. We're coming there right after this song. We're going there. We're still in Mark 1.
Hear our cry, Lord, we pray. Our faces down, our hands are raised. You called us out, we turned away. We've turned.
Praise God. That's a beautiful new song by Casting Crowns. I like that. If we've ever needed you, we need you, Lord.
Nah.
We're glad you've joined us. We're on the air right now, as we have been since 4 o'clock this afternoon, Tampa time, Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we're glad you've joined us, radio audience, and those of you that will catch this show at anytime convenient to you, in your pajamas if you prefer, since Brother Bill, our engineer, has made it possible in the last 6 months. This is a new thing. You email the show to me on Sunday nights, do you not?
I email the show to Pastor Marcia McAllister on Sunday nights.
Thank you, Bill.
That's what I do.
And that's what you do, and you do it very well. And then on Monday morning, when I open my email, I see the show and I email
Monday,
it.
On Monday morning, I do not open her email.
That's right. You do not. I email it to our webmaster, Maxine in Georgia. And by noon on Mondays, usually it is on our website from now till Jesus comes.
Amen.
Because we have all of 2010 shows on the website, which is Beacon of Hope Ministries. IES.com, BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. So you can catch this one again and any of them, go to our website, and we're so glad. We are in the book of Mark, and we are talking about Jesus, and it's all about you, Jesus, and that's our theme. And Nathan Burton, we welcome you back here with us on, and as a regular radio team member, and it's so exciting to sit here across from you. Carol, I just wish you were here in the studio. You've never been here live in the studio, girl. Bill's wondering if you
Suited
really?
Up for TV, though.
Oh, you're suited up for TV?
Ministry.
All right. Okay. Well, hey, that's all right.
I'm getting all prettied up and gussied up. And,
okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to come in there one day and just sit down and listen and laugh.
All right.
At all the funny stories that I get to hear.
That's right. It's funny. It's great.
Won't you do
when
it?
Laughing in Christ, isn't it so exciting?
It is.
When you tell a good, clean story or a situation and you realize the irony of what you're saying and are the iconic way that it's presented.
Yes.
And always knowing that it's to the glorification of Jesus and the Holy
Amen.
Spirit and God.
Amen.
It's so exciting.
Hey, Bill, you had a comment there.
Yes. Now, where Carol lives, she has a nice big front porch, right? With us, do you have a swing on that porch?
No, I have a swing out in the yard.
But when you're sitting out there in the yard about this time, when Marcia's, when Living the Good Life is on, you can hear birds and all that, right?
Oh, I feed birds, so my yard is nothing but a bird sanctuary.
I'd say a live broadcast right at Carol's place.
Oh, a live broadcast from Carol's place.
I have to tell you
that would be great.
Live broadcast.
We can arrange that.
If anybody's interested in seeing something funny, go to the Beacon of Hope Ministries website. And I think there still is a little footage of Pastor Marcia in South Georgia at a retreat that we took.
Mm-hmm.
And she was out trying to be very serious about advertising, and this little orange kitty cat kept running up and down the tree.
Yes, he did.
And it is so cute
the
to
bloopers.
See that, because that little cat was just...
Beacon
was
of Hope bloopers are on our website
that,
now.
Marcia, but he was.
I know. He just outshone me, and what can I say? But,
that was wild. Funny. We finally just had to stop because we had to stop and laugh for a while
know.
And hope he would go away.
Yeah, you can find that on BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. Our bloopers are there. All right, let's go to Mark 1. Thank you for sharing that, Carol. And let's go back to verse 16. And Jesus is on the beach, my kind of guy. I love the beach. You all know that. Passing along the beach, that's why I guess I live 4 minutes from there. I just love it so much. Of Lake Galilee, he saw Simon, who is Peter, and his brother Andrew, net fishing. Now, we see that right here, right off of Caladese Island, right here, Honeymoon Island. We see people net fishing. You know, they're throwing out their nets and pulling in. And fishing was their regular work. That's what they did. Now, Carol, you alluded to this a minute ago, so we're going here. Jesus said to them, come with me. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Three words, come with me.
Yeah.
You know? Now, you don't see them putting up a big argument. Let's finish what he says. He says, I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass.
There was no trepidation on their part. Mm-mm. They threw the net down and walked away.
The very next line says they didn't ask questions.
No.
They dropped their nets and followed.
You know,
I mean, come
say,
on.
Wait a minute. We've got a full net here. We've got to pull it in. Or, you know, I don't know if I want to go. I need to go ask the wife, or I need to go ask. I need to get my brothers joined up. I need to take the kids somewhere. They simply said, okay.
Okay. And, you know, they had to have heard of Jesus. I mean, you know, when they saw him walking toward them, can you just see them looking, going, oh, there's that guy, the miracle worker. You know, there's the guy that heals people. There's the guy that casts out demons. You know, that had to be.
There's the guy that speaks with authority.
Woo! That's exactly what it was. There's that guy that speaks with authority.
He moves.
And it says they didn't ask questions. They dropped their nets and followed. They let him go. They just let it all go and drop behind. Nathan, I want to pick on you first here, and then Carol can join us on this. How hard is it for people to just say, okay, Lord, or yes? Yes, Lord. I mean, seriously, how hard is that? And why is it that people have such a hard time saying yes, Lord?
How hard is it and why is it?
Yeah.
Well, see, we have an opposition. We have an oppressor. We have someone who spends every second, every minute of our lives oppressing us.
And the devil.
Exactly. So he makes it very difficult for people to say, yes, Lord. He makes it very, very difficult.
Why doesn't he want people to say yes, Lord?
Because he doesn't want people to align with God.
Right.
He doesn't want us to be God's children. He doesn't want us to believe in God.
Right.
And so he does whatever he can.
Yeah.
And I mean, for some people, it just takes sickness or takes a little money problems or something like that to keep them in disbelief.
Right.
But, you know, other people take something to happen to their family, to their family member or something. You know, something like that. He knows, but he knows where to apply the pressure.
Yes, he does.
And he does it without mercy.
Right.
You know, he goes.
He hates our guts.
That's it.
The devil hates our guts. He really does hate you, and he does not want good things for you.
Nothing.
And he hates what you speak out of your mouth in truth of Jesus.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly. And
he hates your tongue probably more than anything else.
Yes, he does.
You know, something that I was reading this morning. It's out of Genesis, and it was talking about the fact that when God created Adam, that he created Adam in his image.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main reasons that it proved that we were made in God's image is because we are speaking spirits.
Yes. Yes. Good point.
A speaking
spirit. We have a voice.
Spirit.
Yes.
And with our voice.
Right.
We can speak the word of God, and we can proclaim.
Amen.
We can confess.
Yes.
We can do with our voice. Truth can go forth, and truth can be heard.
Exactly.
And truth does something. It changes things.
Amen.
And so, you know, just.
So when God says, my God, in Philippians, and we speak it, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. When we speak that out with proclamation, we proclaim it.
Right.
In fact, if you have a pen, write this down. All breakthroughs in your life are rooted in proclamation. So
true.
When you want to stay in the same place, in the same rut, then just don't declare any scripture over yourself
just
in that area.
Just keep
on saying negative. Yes. Just keep on talking about the problem. But when you want to change, you want a breakthrough, start proclaiming like Jesus did. It is written, and then attach the scripture.
And even when salvation was completed, Jesus said on the cross, it is finished.
Exactly. Yeah. He did.
He said that.
He declared
it was something that came out of
proclaimed
his mouth. His speaking spirit mouth.
Woo, that's good stuff. So what was finished was the requirement for the law. And Jesus took all our sins and his sicknesses and everything in his body on the cross. And he said, it is finished. Ooh, that's good stuff.
That's
so
true.
It's what comes out of our mouth. So why is, not why, it's obvious right here. Jesus said, come with me. And you do not see any of the disciples arguing.
You don't see them quibbling about it.
You do not see. They don't ask questions.
No disagreement whatsoever.
They gave up self.
No hesitation.
Yeah.
They gave up themselves, anything, everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And he proclaimed that he was from the inside out.
That's right.
Those men went with him because they were, as you say, Nathan, they became the speakers of the truth.
That's right.
Woo.
They knew, first of all, that this man had authority.
Amen.
And when he spoke, the words that he said burned within them.
Woo!
It burned. You could not sit in the presence of Jesus. You could not be under, today, you could not be under the anointing that comes forth today and not be changed.
That's exactly right.
So the anointing that was on Jesus' life after his earthly baptism and then the Holy Ghost baptism that came down, there's no one that could dispute that anointing.
Woo.
When he said, come, something inside of you said, I had better go.
I better go.
I better go.
Come and with so, me. So
it was, it, well, it was what this. Did y'all do when you first heard that?
I came.
We followed.
Right.
You know, I followed.
That's right.
It took a long time. I mean, even as a young girl at age 3, I knew that I had a calling of God on my life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was not a person who caroused around or did anything mm-hmm. silly
at,
like that. And
at
never
3, you
and
probably weren't.
Probably not.
Do. I just had a conviction in my soul that it wasn't right. And my friends, you know, junior high school and high school made fun of me because mm-hmm. I wouldn't get out and do some of the things they wanted to do, and they called fun. It wasn't that my parents were so would have been so disapproving and so harsh on me, but my heavenly parent put it in my soul to make me feel that was unclean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do it. I couldn't go, you know, my parents told me where I could go and what I could do and who and so forth and what time I had to arrive home. My friends' parents told them the same thing. But they just disavowed what their parents said, and they went off and stayed out late hours beyond what they were supposed to and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And yet I couldn't do it because I felt the conviction of Christ to say, you will do as I have told you to do.
Well, so you knew that at a young age. That's,
yes.
Go ahead.
And it's very difficult when you find that at a young age or even an older age, because as we spoke earlier, your friends are there to go, oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just an hour. It's just mm-hmm. a cigarette. It's just a drug. It's just a whatever.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And yet when we have yielded our spirit to follow him, we can't do it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like
ahead,
I was
Nathan.
Sharing with Pastor before.
Yeah.
You know, I came to Christ at the age of 5.
Yeah.
And by the age of 13, the yearning inside of my heart was so great and so strong. And so, I mean, God knew that yeah. I meant what I was praying.
Right.
That I wanted all that he had for me.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit came upon me in such a way, there was no denying it. There
right.
was no denying it. It was overwhelmed. It was just,
and you know, it's glorious.
Oh, yeah.
When and, we're in church and we see that happen to people.
Oh, yes. And when you know
exciting.
You have a destiny.
I mean, it gives you goosebumps.
Oh,
you just want to jump up and dance.
We
do at Beacon of Hope. We praise God in every way
up
that
and
we
dance.
Possibly can. And when we see that Holy Spirit infiltrate somebody's soul and they rise, what an exciting experience
Absolutely.
That is.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Well, just look at these disciples. I mean, when Jesus said, come with me, I will make a new kind of fisherman out of you.
Right.
And this is the word of the hour right now for mm-hmm. people listening across mm-hmm. this globe. God wants to make a new kind of fisherman out of you. Maybe some of
what?
You are going, I don't even know what that means.
And you don't have to clean them.
Right, you don't have to clean them because he cleans
them. You catch
him,
he'll clean
them. Yeah, we don't have to do that. He does all that.
He does the work in them. But I love this. He says here in verse 17 or 18 of Mark 1, Jesus said, I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. He's basically saying, don't worry about your inexperience.
Right.
I mean, you know, he does not call the equipped.
No.
Remember that?
That's right. He equips the call.
There you go. Because so often we are called before we even think we have anything to give away
or anything
that's
to
right.
offer.
Woo!
Yes.
Yes,
indeed.
Isn't that true, though?
That's
I mean,
true.
In all of
so
our
true.
Lives, and Nathan, I'll start with you on this one. Hmm. In all of your life, have there been times where you felt so inadequate before God? You just
yes.
didn't feel like you had the right thing to say or
didn't feel like I had the right stuff.
Didn't have the right stuff.
Didn't
right.
have the right stuff.
Well, you were going through emotional trauma in your life. I've been through divorce, and some of us have, and we've gone through painful emotional times in our lives, and we think, man, I don't have anything to give away. You know, I don't have anything to give to others.
I've run out. I don't
right.
have any more. I
yeah.
don't have any, you know.
My gas tank's empty.
Yes.
Yeah.
So many times. And that's the time when the Holy Spirit taps
Woo.
You on the shoulder and say, okay, I want you to go and meet the need of this individual right here, this
right.
person
exactly.
right here. When you feel that when you feel the least
right.
capable.
Amen.
But
you see, you're still, at that point, your heart is malleable.
Oh,
and
yes.
you're still receptive,
yes.
and he gives you
and
a recharge. It's like putting
he fills you with the Spirit. He fills your
yes.
mouth. He gives
yes.
you
and he takes
what
you
need.
To where you need to go
yes.
and do the ministry that he needs
yes.
done.
Yes.
You know, like you're saying, we may not have the energy and the strength physically. We think I've gone as far as I can go. I've played the piano till my fingers are raw. I've sung until my throat is sore. I've praised God until I'm just I'm just spent of energy. Mm. And then all of a sudden there's a message that comes that says, somebody needs the Lord.
Yes,
and
yes.
We all gather our strength from the Holy Spirit.
Oh,
we pull ourselves up and with renewed energy.
Yes.
Woo!
Just like Isaiah 40:31, we go.
That's
and
right.
We serve the message. Yes.
Well, boy, you both don't have any idea that that is a perfect segue into this song that you've done, Nathan. You wrote this one also. I shall bless the Lord at all times. After the song, you can comment, brother.
I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Lord, I lift you up, and I praise your holy name, for you are worthy to receive all glory, honor, and praise. Jesus, I lift you up, and I bless your holy name. Your praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Lord, I lift you up, and I praise your holy name, for you are worthy to receive all glory, honor, and praise. Jesus, I lift you up, and I bless your holy name. Your praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth.
Wow. From Psalm 34. I love that song, His Praise. What prompted that song? Do you remember that?
Well, I was cleaning the church.
All right. Okay.
It was a happy day.
Yes,
it was
a happy day.
A happy day because I was just thinking about the things that God has done for me.
Amen.
And that He continually does for me. And I think I remember thinking about my partner.
Right.
And I was just blessing God. I was
yes.
just blessing God. I was blessing God for him. I was blessing yeah. God for the life that He'd given to me.
Right.
For the things He's done for me in my life. And
right.
I just want to be a blessing to Him. I want to be a blessing to God.
Amen.
And my mouth.
Right.
What comes out of my mouth.
Amen.
To be a blessing to God.
Yes.
You know, whatever I say to other people, let it be a blessing to God.
Amen.
And to them. That God is honored. And it's just,
wow.
You know.
And you know, David felt this way. He wrote those words originally,
yes.
Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times.
Yes.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord.
Yes.
The humble shall hear it and rejoice.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I love that. And that's what there are so many times. I mean, these disciples that Jesus called, all 12 of them, mm-hmm. I mean, one of them ended up being Judas, but the other 11 ended up being pastors and missionaries, and they were those on the front line.
Mm-hmm.
James, I was reading a commentary yesterday that said he ended up going into India, I believe, and one of these guys went to Spain. Mm. You know, I mean, they were sent out after they spent this time, 3 years with mm-hmm. Jesus, walking and learning, you know, from him.
Yes.
And you know that they had copies of the Torah. Mm. They had these Psalms. And can you just see the disciples that Jesus called, and they're walking along as the words are coming out of
Jesus' mouth to them as he's teaching them the light and life.
Yes. Their lives were so transformed.
Well, just the authority that Jesus had speaking the Torah and speaking the Psalms and giving these words to these ministers, you know, and Jesus is laying upon them the mantle, the responsibility, go to you into all the world.
Which they did.
And they did. Yes, they did. And this is second person, not this. This is not from Jesus, but from Jesus' witness, you know, the live witness looking him in the face.
Right.
Can you imagine? And the day is coming. We're going to look Jesus in the face.
Amen.
I just look forward to that day.
It's going
to
be fantastic.
It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, and there might be some of you out there right now listening to this show, and you say, "Wow, they seem really excited." I had somebody tell me last week. I got a phone call on Monday from someone that said, "Wow, you all seem to be so happy and having such a good old time." And I said, absolutely, because God is moving in our lives. Mm. We are not stagnant. We are not sitting in the same yuck and stuff we've always been in. You know what I'm saying? We're moving forward.
And that sometimes is the same pew.
Yes.
And the same seat in the same row.
God challenges us to get out of our comfort zone, does he not?
Yes, he does.
And we are the ones who have sometimes a hard time doing that. But look at these disciples right here in Mark 1. They did not release anything.
They released all.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
All they counted.
They did not protest. They did not put up a fight about it. They just said,
"It was all to Jesus. I surrender."
You know, that's it. Yeah. Carol, I want to get your take on that, but I want to look first at 19 to 20.
And I'll go do something. I'll sit by the beach and just count the starfish or something. Yeah, you know? But what do you want me to do? We packed up our ditty bag and went on.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
even packing a ditty bag.
I find it very interesting that James and John, Carol, in 19 and 20, mm-hmm. I mean, okay, so first Simon and Andrew, brothers, just leave everything, leave it all behind, and follow Jesus. Yep. They walk down the beach a few dozen yards or so, and they see James and John.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, you know, there's no coincidences here. This is all ordained of God. And they were in a boat mending their fish nets. They were working. They were at work. Right off, he made the same offer. Immediately, Jesus says, come with me.
Yeah.
And it says here in verse 20, immediately they left their father Zebedee. We were talking about this at lunch. I find that fascinating that they left their father, the boat, and the hired hands. And when you look at that, you're talking family responsibility. Mm-hmm. The hired hands, you're talking their business. And their boat.
And the boat.
I mean, that's
what kept them afloat.
Right. I mean, that's their livelihood.
That's their whole life. That's everything. That's
imagine the astonishment of the father.
Can you imagine?
What are you guys doing? You're leaving me here in the water. Come back.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe he never said a word.
Because of the authority in the man that called his sons.
Yes.
I would think that the father was honored.
I would think he was honored
that his sons were chosen.
Right.
And that his sons knew the voice. And recognized it and responded without any other care.
Without anything.
Knowing that they would be cared for, all of their needs would be met.
Yes.
Their food would be met. Their hospitality of having a place to stay would be filled.
Yes.
And they went out with nothing. They didn't run to the bank and use their Visa card to get money.
And they didn't go shopping.
Exactly right.
They didn't go grab any more clothes.
Let's get some winter clothes.
They did not pack a bag.
Let's get some decent shoes here.
You know, that's all very true. And I think about James and John. James became a pastor of one of the early churches. James was martyred.
Mm.
He was murdered.
Yep.
And you know, so often we are afraid to take steps with God, steps of obedience. Mm-hmm. Praise God, these disciples, these first 12, mm-hmm. really, because Judas had a place. I mean, you know, mm-hmm.
He had a reason for the season.
There you go. These 12 said, yes, Lord. And I believe that through the study of the Gospels, we are going to see the need for us to rise up like a mighty army and say, yes, God, if you bring somebody in my path that needs me to pray for their head because they got a splitting headache, well, then I'm not going to just walk away from that opportunity.
I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do
right.
it. And I'm going to stand on the very name of Jesus.
That I keep a little vial of anointing oil. And I have traveled with a little cup and a little the wafer so that I can give communion to someone who may need it. You never know who you're going to meet on the road. And if you come to a situation that's pretty deplorable, as I have so many times and seen horrible accidents, and then people that are calling, you know, that when you get out to see if you can give assistance before assistance, professional assistance comes, people will be, and I'm thinking of one particular man that was dying. And he said, Can somebody pray for me? And boy, my knees hit the ground, and my hand took his. And I prayed for him and prayed for him, and he left me with me holding his hand.
At the side of the road.
You know, he heard someone imploring God to take him safely home.
Amen.
And it didn't have to be me. It could have been anyone.
You know, Carol, that just reminds me. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I've probably told this story in a sermon a long time ago. But when I was pastoring the church in Indiana at Cornerstone, we had a family come to my bookstore, a mother and a daughter. And she was 21. She had been diagnosed with cancer, and she had it all through her at this point when I met her. And they started coming to Cornerstone and receiving ministry. The daughter who was dying of cancer told me, my mother doesn't want to hear this, but I know I'm going to be going to heaven right away. And, you know, I hope you can help my mother and my dad through this, because I know that's where I'm going. And it wasn't a thing of, she didn't even.
It was settled in her.
It was settled in her, and she knew that's where she was going. So I'm going to make this story very short. But the afternoon that she ended up going to heaven, her parents, they lived on a farm in Indiana about an hour's drive from where our church was. And I got a call that afternoon from the mother saying, Nancy's going to go. She's dying. She's slipping away. I said, okay, I'll be up there as soon as I can. And I walked in there at 5 till 8. Now, 8 is the number of resurrection and new life. Okay, now, come on. Some of you out there going, is she crazy? No. The numbers in the word are significant.
That's right.
And it was 5 minutes till 8 in that farmhouse, and I walked in the back door with an elder from my church, and the parents and the family members were sitting around the kitchen table, which I thought was odd. And I said, where's Nancy? And they said, oh, she's in there on the sofa.
Okay.
Okay, she was dying.
Yeah.
And they were out there. They couldn't face it.
Oh, my.
But God had sent me and the elder right at the right moment, of course. I bent down beside the sofa, and she was barely had enough strength to put an arm up to try to hug me. And I just took her into my arms, and I just said, are you ready? And she said, yes. And I began to sing that we just played, but not your tune. It was a tune that we sang at church. I will bless the Lord at all times, you know, and began to just quote the word to her about blessing God. She opened her little mouth, frail, and began to praise God.
Hallelujah.
At exactly 8 o'clock. 5 minutes later, she slipped away.
Praise God.
And was in the arms of Jesus for all eternity. And that is a true story. And her name was Nancy Mills. I ended up having the privilege of having her funeral. 300 or 400 people gathered in that little town because she had just gotten out of high school, you know, a couple of years before. She knew a lot of people. People were saved at that funeral. I will never forget that. And Carol, that brought me to that, because when God calls us like he did these disciples, and the day that Nancy and her mother walked into my bookstore, I never would have thought I will be having this person's funeral in just a few weeks, you know, and not any idea what God was doing.
And
but God knew.
There.
Yes. That's my point.
Haven,
yes.
A place with a believer.
Yes.
A place with a leader that could help her on her journey and understand her journey and teach her journey to her parents.
Exactly. And, you know, they gathered when I realized that she was going right away. The elder with me went and got the family, and they were all right there. And I said to the mother, you want to get down here beside me? She goes, no. And it was just, she just couldn't do it. Her mother just couldn't handle it. And I had the privilege of holding that that young girl in my arms as she went into the arms of Jesus. And, you know, this show's going a strange way, isn't it? But it's really, it's very right on, because it's all about eternity.
It's about hearing and receiving.
Yes.
When I was working in surgery at Lakeland Regional in Lakeland, Florida, I had gone to this young boy's room to go down and do some blood work, because I sometimes did blood draws that other people couldn't do. And I, this little fellow was 8 years old, and he had terminal leukemia, and it was becoming very, very imminent, like you said. And I happened to be in that room, and I told him, I said, "Baby, I've got to stick your finger." And he said, "I understand." And his mom and dad were sobbing, and they were all outside. And he said, "My family's very upset." He said, "Don't let them be upset." I said, "I will do my best, sweetie." And he said, "I have a favorite song." And he said, "Would you please ask them to come in and everybody join hands around my bed and sing my song?" And he said, "I tell you now, when the song is finished, I will be in the arms of Jesus."
My Lord.
8 years old.
"Don't tell them. They won't believe it." I said, "Okay." So I asked the family. I said, "He would like for you to come in and everyone join hands around his bed, and we are supposed to sing his favorite song." And I told them that he had requested this song. They did not realize the seriousness of his situation at that very moment. And we sang the song, and he was gone.
Yes. Wow. Wow.
I mean, when I first walked in, he said, "Do you see the angels?"
Oh, so they were already there.
"I know they're here, but I can't see them like you can right now." He said, "They're waiting for me."
Wow. You know what? It's all about eternity, folks. It's all about eternity. Nathan, I've got to remind you of sitting at my dining room table in my house in 07, right after we had started this radio show. And my parents were living with me. I had taken my parents in. And Dad, of course, was an evangelist, pastor, missionary, and Mom was right beside him all those years in ministry. And we were talking around the table, and Dad was dying of leukemia. It was just a few weeks before he actually went into the arms of Jesus. And that day, he said to you, Nathan, because he loved you so much, "Nathan, would you play my favorite song?" Do you remember getting up and going to my piano?
Yes, I do.
And Nathan played "Through It All," and we're going to do the Sela rendition of "Through It All" right now.
"I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. I've been a lot of places and I've seen so many faces, but there have been times I've felt so all alone. But in that lonely hour, in that precious lonely hour, Jesus let me know I was his own.
Yes, I learned to
Oh my. Wow. Isn't that a great rendition of that song? I love it when you sing it, but I don't have you on CD to be able to play it. But wow, I've been through so many things, and we all have. And don't you think these disciples that said yes to Jesus that day had no clue what their lives would end up being? Peter was martyred. He was crucified upside down. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't want to be crucified the same way Jesus was. I'm not worthy for that. You know, martyrs, they went through so much. Yet on that day when Jesus called them, they said yes.
Yes, they did.
And this is what God is asking us right now. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. And through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Nathan?
Now that brings me to the point that human beings, men and women, can gain health through their faith in Jesus and believe to cure them.
Yes.
And I'm a prime example of that, I think. Not that I'm certainly not a martyr in that respect, but when I was going through the breast cancer and having to be at Emory every day and going into that infusion lab, seeing these people who were far worse than I, and them going in and they're just so down and so forth. And Maxine and I, while I was not peppy, I couldn't run a mile and I couldn't dance a jig. But when we came in there, we came in with smiles on our face and laughing and praising God and handing out tracts and praying with people. And it was such a wonderful thing. And then people began to, I told them, you're worthy. You are worthy of health. Your God wants you to be healthy.
He wants
you to have a life with him.
Yes.
What a wonderful time it was for me, even though it was a situation that if I had not been believing and not knowing that he could take my life and change it health-wise, I'd have been on death's door even more than what they said I was.
But you were healed.
It is being able to have the faith to know God is watching over us.
Through it all.
He has a part in every part of our life, and he wants to have it.
Yes.
And if we don't establish that relationship, I just feel so bad for the people that don't get it.
Yes. Well, that's what it's all about. In this series, it's all about that relationship. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Nathan, your turn. Comment on that. Whoa, through it all. You remember that day with my dad, right?
Yes I do.
Tears running down his face.
Yes, I do. Yeah, tears.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a very precious time for me,
right.
too, because even up to now, I've not experienced all the things that your father has experienced.
Yeah.
But I have experienced a lot.
Right.
It's knowing the Word of God.
Yes.
Knowing the Word of God, proclaiming the Word of God, standing on the Word of God that's gotten me this far.
Amen.
I know that.
Amen. Because Trusting in the Word.
Yeah. Satan has tried to kill me many times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm laying there in the hospital bed and being denied services. The doctors and the nurses weren't even paying any attention to me at all.
Yeah, I remember one time, Nathan, that I'm sure you'll recall, I was in Gainesville, Florida at a graduation ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I got a phone call from Pastor Marcia. And she said, "Where are you?" I said, "Gainesville." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Nathan is very sick. He's in the hospital, very sick. Mm-hmm. And I can't get to him." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Can you get to him?" And I said, "I'll be there shortly."
Mm.
Yeah.
And we took off, and I think two of us walked about the same time into the room and looked back, and she was kind of on our coattails. But, you know, we heard the cry of a righteous man.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we knew that we had to be there.
Exactly. Praise God.
We're your family. We're your Christian family. We're your natural family. And we know that it was God that was going to be exonerated for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, that is really, I guess, what we're trying to say here. God wants to use every single one of us. And so often we allow the devil to beat us up. We played that song you did earlier, Darkness Has No Power Over Me. Satan does not have the power to keep you from doing God's will in your life. He does not.
He has the power of telling lies.
That's it. It's a liar. And you know, and condemnation.
You can believe the lie or you can deny it.
Exactly. And it's time for listening listening audience, it's time for those of us in the last days times here to rise up as a mighty army and be used willingly,
yes,
willingly allow God to use us so that we can lay hands on the sick and see them recover like Simon's mother-in-law and all of that that God has for us to do.
And many people I know, many people feel like, well, I have nothing to offer.
Right.
What can I say?
Right.
You know, but if you know Jesus, then you have a story to tell.
Amen.
If you know Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, and we each have our own story, our own arrival, our own point where we went from death to life.
Or from catching perch and bass to catching people, right? That's what Jesus said.
Hey, come with me
and I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. I love that in the Message Bible. Isn't that good?
And see, we each have our own story.
Yes.
And the reason why we each have our own story is because maybe my story won't get through to people. And it doesn't. So there are many people that my sharing Jesus Christ with them, it bounces off of them or something.
Right.
It's like kryptonite or something.
And they can't
Whereas
get it.
Someone else will come and tell their story.
Right.
And it touches them deep in their heart.
Amen. Woo. And
from the inside out.
From the inside out. There we go. Carol, final words here. We're getting down to the wire here.
Final words come from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Look, I've been standing at the door, and I'm constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he or she with me.
Ooh, amen. Powerful. What are you saying about that?
That is the way, the truth, and the light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all who come to him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And I trust it, I believe it, I know it, I try to live it, and I certainly try to teach others.
Amen.
Amen.
And through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus.
Through it all.
No matter how hard it has been, and there's been times it has, but we've learned to trust in Jesus. Carol, thank you so much for being on the show today. We always love it when you're on, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
It's a privilege to be there and an honor to be there.
And did you enjoy it being on here with Nathan today?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. And I loved him when he would come to the dinners because we loved having him as a guest in our home, and Sean. And
right.
Always complimentary of everything that you did and so gracious. And we still have our wind chime.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Hanging out on the front porch right now.
Oh. Praise God. That's right. Cool.
Love that wind chime.
We got a lot of good memories, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right, my friend, we will talk to you soon. God bless you, and thank you for being on with us today.
Yes. You're more than welcome. God bless each of you.
All right. Brother Nathan, it's been a powerful show. I feel like the Holy Spirit has moved mightily here today. I believe that it went in a different direction than what we thought it was going to.
Well,
we never know.
We make our plans, and we've been to allow God to do his thing.
Right.
And often it isn't what we planned.
That's exactly right.
And it's okay.
It's okay. Because don't you love it that way?
Yes, I
mean, just like this morning, we had some ideas of some songs we were going to do, and it didn't really go at all like we thought it was going to do. And, you know, but it's just wonderful waiting on the Holy Spirit like that.
Yes.
And expecting him to move in our lives and not worrying
about it. Well, see, that's when it happens like this, with me.
Yes.
When it goes this way, then I know the Spirit of God is ministering to someone in particular.
Exactly.
And there's someone out there today that needed to hear this word. Someone out there today that needed to know that they could open their heart and open their life and receive Jesus.
Amen.
Receive him in their heart and their life. And there's somebody out there today that heard the voice of Jesus said, come.
Amen.
Come with me.
And somebody out there saying, okay.
And there's a lot.
Answering the call.
There's a lot of someone's out there saying yes.
Amen.
Yes,
saying
Lord,
yes. Woo. If you are not sure of your salvation right now, Nathan, would you pray this prayer after me?
Yes.
If you are not sure that you are saved and going to heaven, if you should die tonight, please pray this prayer with Nathan. I'm going to say it first and he'll repeat what I say. And as you speak it out of your mouth, you will become a child of the living God, saved and his child forever. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
That he died on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
I ask you, Heavenly Father.
I ask you, Heavenly Father.
To forgive me now.
To forgive me now.
For anything and everything.
For anything and everything.
That I've ever said or done.
That I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I am your child.
I'm your child.
And you are my Father God.
And you are my Father God.
And Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Savior.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
We want to hear from you if you prayed that prayer.
Praise God.
Pastor at beaconoffolkministries.com. And also, if you have a prayer request, we have a fantastic prayer team. It's huge now. It scatters around the United States, different places. You can be on that prayer team. You do not have to come to Beacon of Hope to be on the prayer team. All you have to do is write prayers at beaconoffolkministries.com. Alice, who lives in Houston, is our prayer team leader. She heads it up. And you can send any requests from any person. We don't need to know them. It's nothing like that. We are praying for a lot of people and a lot of needs all the time. And we're seeing tremendous answers to prayer. So you can write us at prayers at beaconoffolkministries.com, your requests, or you can join the prayer team. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 11. Come and receive from
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Powerful
Amen.
Move from God. Sunday mornings at 11.
Yes,
and
Jesus.
Wednesday night Bible study at 7. We have a prayer meeting on Wednesdays at 6:15. God moves mightily during
yes.
that Wednesday night.
Yes.
It's casual. You can bring your dinner from work. We set up tables. And bring your Bible and a notebook, and we're going to discuss. It's interactive, and we're
yes.
going to learn.
Yes.
And we got a lot of good stuff in store for this Wednesday night. I'm excited already and haven't even gotten there. So we are so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. Tell a friend about the radio show. We mm-hmm. are in our fourth year, almost ready to celebrate our fourth anniversary. Last Sunday was our 200th show anniversary. Mm-hmm. So this is number 201. It's exciting. A new day. We're moving.
Amen.
All right. And it's been a fun time.
Yes.
Engineer Bill, you're always great. We enjoy you.
And how do we order that book again that's on your main website?
You just go to beaconoffolkministries.com.
Letters to Lori, right?
Yes. Or just send me an email personally, which is pastor@beaconoffolkministries.com, and we'll get it out to them, and we'll pay the postage. $10 a book, or if you want to invest in the prison ministry, $5 a book gets a book to the prison. So that is what we're all about. And
Amen.
God bless you and have a great week. Nathan's CD is on our website, beaconoffolkministries.com. You can go there and order that. And if you want to give a donation to the ministry and plant your funds in good soil, also you can go to PayPal on our beaconoffolkministries.com website. And give an offering, a tithe, and people are doing that. And we thank you out there for supporting this ministry financially. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, my good friend Carol up in Georgia, and my good friend Nathan right here beside me again, which is wonderful. It's been a great day. Hope you've enjoyed Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Contact us. We want to help you. If you need help, we want to pray for you. And as always, know that it's not far. To Jesus.
Arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no It's not far.